Red Line.
The Philippines elected Rodrigo Duterte as its new president, skyrocketing the flamboyant small-town mayor into being the leader of the over 100 million-person nation, all in spite of his offending comments about women and other issues, which garnered him the reputation of being the Asian Trump. All campaign mudslinging aside, which is the context in which Duterte was negatively compared to Trump, the new Philippine president is also an out-of-the-box, unconventional thinker when it comes to foreign affairs. He said that his nation would speak one-on-one with China, and that he'd be eager to see Beijing build a railroad and other infrastructure projects through his island archipelago. He also said that while he will honor the Enhanced Defense Cooperation Agreement that his predecessor signed, that he would do so, quote, from a position of strength, which could mean that he might eventually back out of it if the U.S. oversteps its legal limits. Because of his surprising rise to national prominence and the likelihood that his foreign policy will spell trouble for the U.S.'s pivot to Asia, new Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte is our Man of the News this week.
Actually, the meteoric rise to power of Rodrigo Duterte shocked the political elite in Manila. As I understand, no one could have expected that he will win and win so convincingly. Of course, he made world headlines by all his jokes, by his notes. He joked about sexual exploits. He said many other things about Pope Francis. I actually don't want to repeat it, you see. But I think that when the world media was making emphasis on this image of Duterte Hari, or the Punisher, how they call him.
That was an American
absolutely.
For negative purposes.
I think they missed the whole point, because this is actually not a subject which had to be explained about this person. The question is, why Filipina, the nation of more than 100 million, voted for such a person who is a newcomer to big politics? Well, if you look at economic performance of Philippines, well, they were doing relatively good. And corruption is also there, but it seems that there was not a demand for such type of a politician. And then all of a sudden, we see him...
Well, shows the media was wrong. Yeah, the analysts were absolutely
that's
wrong.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. And then all of a sudden, we see such a person coming up... and making his message through to the millions of Filipinos. Some are saying that he is a populist. Well, but in Asia, politicians are populists. So still we have to unwrap the riddle of the politician.
Yeah, you mentioned the international media missed the point. I think they did that on purpose to distract from his domestic international policies. But since he's so controversial, that's why we're discussing him today as our man in the news. And we're going to speak first to our in-studio guest, Mr. Gleb Ivashintsev, member of the Russian Council of International Relations and former ambassador to South Korea and Myanmar, about Mr. Duterte. So, you know, Mr. Rodrigo Duterte, very controversial figure. He's raised a lot of issues. I mean, all this campaign rhetoric aside about his jokes and whatnot, his policies are pretty revolutionary. Speaking with China, being very strict with the American Enhanced Defense Cooperation Agreement, how big of an impact do you think Duterte can play on the regional paradigm?
I think there will be quite an important impact on the regional situation. We should recall that the Philippines will be the chair of ASEAN in 2017 when the association turns 15. And it is important that new President Duterte understands the need for regional leadership in a challenged ASEAN, because at present this rivalry between China and United States causes certain problems for the unity of the ASEAN and the preservation of the cohesion of ASEAN. It is the only way to hold that organization as an important actor in Asia-Pacific and global affairs. Therefore, we should very attentively follow the foreign policy of President Duterte. It is quite obvious that the new president will try to make the Philippines' foreign policy less pro-American. And the general feelings is there also that Duterte, if he follows his pre-election promises, the Philippines may abandon the role of a regional buffer between Washington and Beijing.
Absolutely. They should be not something like between rock and a hard place, between yes. Americans and Chinese.
Yes.
I don't think that he will be either pro-Chinese or pro-American. He will be pro-Filipino.
And pro-ASEAN he should
pro-ASEAN,
be.
Pro-ASEAN, yes. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, these are really, really good comments, and it was a very astute diplomatic observation that the Philippines will be the ASEAN chair next year. Thank you for bringing that up, Mr. Ivashinsov. And because this island archipelago is so important, we're bringing in another guest in the line to discuss this further. That's Mr. Bryce Swerhoom. He's researcher at the City University of Hong Kong.
Red Line.
Hello, Mr. Swerhoom. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, thanks. And thanks for having me on.
Hey, you're welcome. And thanks for coming on again. So, you know, as you know, we're discussing Duterte and his the impact that his foreign policy can have. And I wanted to ask you about the American reaction to all this, because up until his actual election, most American voices were decidedly negative. They had some negative reporting. They were emphasizing some of his, you know, rhetoric, some of his jokes, all these other things. But now that he's president, this is a whole different game. They have to deal with him. How do you think the U.S. will react to President Duterte's election?
Well, certainly more attention has been placed on the recent election in Philippines because of the bombastic language that Duterte has been espousing recently. But in terms of the diplomatic relationship, I think the sort of the key is to look into the actual message that Duterte has said. You know, he wants to be able to bargain from a position of power, which of course is a statement that Donald Trump has made to make the comparison there. And I think we can look at it in this context as well, that it's not so much that Duterte is signaling a fundamental change in the relationship, but he would like to signal that it's not something to be taken for granted, and that he's not a politician that simply wants to be taken for granted. I think that's very much important to his message. But in terms of the impact it's going to have, you know, there is no free lunch in terms of which foreign relations you wish to pursue. So the extent to which China would be willing to sort of take over the American role, I think is something that I'd be very premature to say that.
Bryce, you mentioned China. You know, as a part and parcel of President Obama's pivot to Asia policy was the strategy of building China containment belt. And you know what role Philippines used to play along with Vietnam and other countries in that policy. But at the same time, we are struggling to understand to what extent Duterte would be able just to make the policy of Manila more balanced. Do you think that he would be really trying to build some constructive, pragmatic relations and probably to recede tension which are still prevailing in the relations between Beijing and Manila? What is the Chinese angle of the story?
Well, I think right now we see from the Philippines' perspective an opportunity to become, you know, not just an echo but a voice in the sense that as the region becomes more politically fragile, that this is an opportunity really for the Philippines to sort of advance their own position. So I really think that's what we're seeing right now. I don't think China would really look at it as a major change in the balance of power in the region, and I don't think that the U.S. does either. However, I do feel that the Philippines realizes that this is an area that's becoming increasingly important, that the strategy is to look like you're able to negotiate with both sides if possible. And that is a fundamental change in the sense that it's not simply echoing an American position and being that traditional buffer.
Okay, well, thank you very much for explaining that to us, Bryce. We always appreciate it, and thank you for coming into our program once more. Thank you. All right, well, we're going to bring in a regional voice to this discussion, and that's Mr. Juan Ahmed Faisal. He's a political analyst from Malaysia.
Red Line.
All right, so the question I'd like to ask you is, you know, seeing how you're from the region and everything, how can Duterte's election be a game changer for the U.S.'s pivot to Asia? What do you think about it?
I think from my region, we have been missing this strongman figure to really dampen this foreign influence in our region, especially geopolitical influence. So to see him winning the election is somewhat like a fresh new air for the region, I would say. Geopolitically speaking.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you just to maybe expand on that a bit in terms of, you mentioned geopolitically speaking, what is it about Duterte that makes you reach these conclusions? Why do you think he's a breath of fresh air?
in terms of from Philippine point of view and also from Southeast Asian point of view, he has this support from this Mindanao region where, you know, the geopolitical fault line is very rife over there. Possibly this hybrid warfare would be coming out from that region to destabilize not only Philippines, but also Malaysia and Indonesia due to our overlapping borders, maritime borders. So having Duterte as the president, which receives massive support from the Mindanao Muslim, especially among the rebels, this would be a great factor of a stabilizing factor for Philippines, I would say.
Okay, well, the other thing I'd like to ask you about Duterte is, you know, he's made some very strong statements about how he's eager and willing to cooperate with China to peacefully resolve the maritime dispute. What's your take on that, and how likely do you think it is that the Philippines and China will peacefully and pragmatically resolve their current problems?
I think he made a very interesting remark with regard to the South China Sea issue, and I think Philippines alone could not be the best party to just resolve with China. There's a need to have a proper framework where multilateral negotiation could be done, especially since Philippines is one of the earliest founder of ASEAN. You see, Philippines, Malaysia, and Indonesia are the three main and the oldest founders of ASEAN. So having Duterte as this more diplomatic and I would say more focusing on this region, the interests of this region rather than the interests of the United States, I would say it is a more promising effort and also possibility for a better resolution in the South China Sea issue.
Okay, and the last thing I'd like to ask you is, you know, you mentioned that Duterte, he's focused on the region as opposed to what the U.S. wants for the region, and it got me to think about the Enhanced Defense Cooperation Agreement that the U.S. signed with his predecessor, Benito Aquino. So how do you think Duterte will deal with this, you know, Enhanced Defense Cooperation Agreement, and could he possibly, I don't want to say rescind it, but can he weaken it to a degree where the U.S. isn't able to do everything that it anticipated?
Yeah, somehow I think this is a stumbling block for U.S. In terms of their pivot into our region. I would say maybe the way forward, the possible way forward for Duterte might be by bringing Russia into the picture. And Russia has been showing great interest for ASEAN for the past few months. I think having this sort of a new president that really challenges the status quo of Philippines, geopolitically speaking, would open new avenue for Philippines itself to find a better partner to rebalance both China and also U.S. Because we all know having Russia into the mix would be more pleased to China because they have been having a lot of bilateral agreement for the past few years. Instead of just having two superpowers or global powers in the region, we need another one into the mix, which is Russia will be the best candidate, I would say.
Okay, Juan, thank you very much for coming on our program. It was a pleasure to host you. And right now, we're just going to wrap everything up, and it looks like, yes, Mr. Duterte, he really is changing the regional balance, but the question is, to what degree, how far will he go, how will Duterte's détente with China go, and what will the American reaction be to that? These are all important things that we have to watch for to see where the region is headed in the near future, and whether the pivot to Asia might stumble before it even begins to walk.
And also, I think what is important and what we've not said is that the emergence of such a politician like Duterte shows that what we call Trump phenomenon is coming to more and more regions, and there's more and more demand for a new generation of leaders who would come up with their own new messages.
Yeah, this is also a very interesting point. So we're going to thank all of our guests for participating in this discussion, beginning with our in-studio guest, Mr. Glavy Vashensov. He is member of the Russian Council of International Relations and foreign ambassador to both South Korea and Myanmar. Mr. Bryce Swearhun, researcher at the City University of Hong Kong, and Mr. Juan Ahmed Faisal, political analyst in Malaysia. And with this, we end this week's edition of Redline, brought to you by Radio Sputnik. It was presented by me, Andrew Kripko.
And Sergei Strokhan.
Thank you for staying with us. Goodbye and take care.
Take care and goodbye.